his mercy has rewrote my life. Oh, God's mercy rewrote my life. Oh, I should have fallen, my soul cast down. Oh, but mercy rewrote. Aren't you glad that he rewrote your life this morning? Let's stand.
Hallelujah. Well, I want mercy, don't you? Amen. Somebody said, I demand justice. Lord, give me mercy. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Was the word of the Lord outstanding? I see most of you had enough gumption to come back this morning. But I tell you what, the word of the Lord is honing us right on down, right on down, right on down. And well, I appreciate it, don't you? An old watered down gospel, it just won't get it. It just won't get it, Brother Terry. I appreciate the truth. I appreciate the word of the Lord. And may God always give us a spirit and a heart to want the real, real, genuine word of God in our life. Is that your desire this morning? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, give them a nice smile. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord this morning. Brethren, play a little bit more of it if you will. You little players. Sing about it now, church.
I'm sure.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to let you be seated while we look at our prayer request this morning. I know I have you standing up and sitting down a lot, but keeps your joints limber. So be thankful for that, Brother Terry. Amen. Sister Anna Altland is having surgery on Tuesday morning. They're asking that we would remember her as we pray. Brother Mark Rhodes sends this in to please pray for his mother, Sister Virginia Rhodes of Gate City. She's going to have surgery tomorrow morning at Indian Path Hospital in Kingsport, Tennessee. Thank you and may God bless. So let's remember that prayer request for her as we pray today. Here's a prayer request for Sister Barbara Gould. She has been under so much stress trying to care for her sick husband, and she is exhausted. Also pray for her husband, Bob, who is in the hospital with multiple health problems, but their main concern is keeping his blood pressure stable. So let's pray for Barbara and Bob Gould this morning that the Lord would just help them both. As we pray, let's just commit them unto the Lord. Brother Don Forum sends this in. Please pray that God will help me find a title to a truck that I sold to a man from Indiana. He and a buddy are arriving by train today here in Portland, Oregon. They plan on driving that truck home Monday or Tuesday. So far, I have not been able to locate the title that I misplaced. I'm kind of in a panic mode. Thank you, and may God bless. So they're asking that we would help the Lord, help him find that. May the Lord grant that request to him today. I want to pray for David Dobbs from Arizona. He was in a very serious automobile accident, has many serious injuries to his body. So let's pray for that need as we pray today that the Lord would be mindful of that situation. Sister Shirley Lunsford offers this testimony this morning. I want to praise the Lord for touching me on Wednesday night. I have been suffering with sciatic nerve pain in my hip and leg for about 4 months, but I have been pain-free for 3 days. God is so good. So they want to praise the Lord for that. Amen. Hallelujah. And Brother Junior Carter sends this in, says, I want to thank God for moving in a mighty way to answer an unspoken prayer request. He worked the matter out in a way that only he could. Thanks be to God. So we praise the Lord for answering that prayer for Brother Junior Carter this morning. Brother Terry Horn says to please remember Sister Alice this morning. She left church last night feeling ill, doing some better this morning. Also remember my son Brad. He is flying out today for Kyrgyzstan for a 6-month tour. Let's just pray that the Lord would be with him and help him as he stays in that part of the world for the next 6 months. You have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about. We believe we're serving a God that's well aware of all of our situations, and he is more than able to meet every need. Do you believe that with all your heart? Look at somebody and say, our God is able. We believe that with all of our heart. Could we stand this morning? God bless you, Brother Joe, if you'd come lead us to the Lord. Let's invite his presence into this service and ask him to have his divine will on all these requests.
If you would still remember, I don't know if y'all know David Chambers over at the Washington County Sheriff's Department. He's a sergeant over there. A couple months ago had a bad car wreck there in Jonesboro. He's got severe head trauma. He's still in the hospital. So if y'all will, just continue to remember him as you pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day, Lord. Lord, another day in Satan's Eden, Father, that we can still cast our eyes upon you, Father. Lord, first I'd like to ask, Lord, if there's anything in my life that would hinder anybody from receiving, Father. Anything they have need of, Lord, may you forgive me, Lord, and take it out. Lord, we thank you for the word that you gave us last night, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're honing down a bride, Father, that would be the same mind as Christ, Father. Lord, we know Paul told the Philippians, Father, that the fulfillment of his joy was that they have the same love. Lord, and that's what you desire for your bride, Lord. Lord, as we gather together this morning, Father, we bring our needs to you. We pull up to the table, Lord, to receive what we have need of, Father. We take these needs, Lord. Lord, may we pass them to the head of the table, as it were, Lord, and give them to the King, Father. Lord, we know in your hands, Lord, anything's possible. And nothing is impossible, Father. Lord, this brother, Lord, that needs to find this title to this truck, Lord. Lord, to him, this is a great need, Father. To you, it's a great need. Lord, and I pray you'd look at it this way. Every need, Lord, these testimonies of deliverance, Lord, Brother Junior Carter, Lord, this other testimony, Lord, just proof, Lord, that you're alive and well, Lord, and that you remain the same, Father. Lord, when you walked on the shores of Galilee, Lord, you walked through the streets of Jerusalem, Lord, you healed the sick, you raised the dead, Lord. Your Bible, Lord, in the Bible it says, I am the Lord thy God, I change not, Father. We're holding true to that promise this morning, Father. Lord, we pray that you would come amongst us, Lord. Every hand that was raised, Lord, you see the need of that heart, Lord. I pray that you would move in the service this morning. Walk up and down these aisles and touch each heart, Father. Lord, anoint Brother Louis, Lord. Lord Jesus, to get out of the way, Father. We could put you in the place of that worship, Father. Bless the musicians, Lord. Bless our pastor, Lord, as he comes out this morning, Father. Lord, and removes himself, Lord, from, Lord, that he can let you speak to us, Father. Help us to hear, Father. We give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Joe. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. If you're a visitor here today, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service this morning in whatever part of the world they're in, may God bless those folks as well. I want to welcome to the service this morning Brother Jackson and family from South Africa. Where would you folks be? Would you just raise your hand right back here? Give them a nice hand this morning. God bless you. Glad to have you in the service today. Praise the Lord. Any other visitor, we're glad to have you. Let's sing about it this morning. We've talked about it forever and forever and forever, but it's closer right now than it's ever been. What a day that will be. It's going to be quite a time, isn't it? And you know, while we're on our journey, we're having quite a time getting there. Some good days, lots of bad days. But them bad ones make you appreciate them real good ones, right? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Jesus another big hand clap of praise. Oh, what a day that will be, oh, when my Jesus and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me.
On that happy golden shore. glorious day that will be.
And just before we sing this second verse, Brother Harry, I want you to really sing it, and we'll help you. But think about these words that's in this verse right here. It's the truest thing you'll ever sing about. No more sorrow there. No more burdens to bear. No more sickness and no more pain. And no more parting over there. And forever we're going to be with the one who died for me and for you. What a day, a glorious day that's going to be. Whatever it costs you down here, it's going to be worth it to get there. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now give Jesus another big hand clap of praise. Sing with all your heart, buddy.
There'll be no sorrow there.
Oh,
no more burdens to bear. No more sickness, no pain.
Hallelujah.
No more
Amen. Let's sing this little chorus just before we have a couple of specials this morning. I believe you're going to enjoy. For He is holy. Do you believe that with all your heart this morning? For He is
holy.
He is Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Sister Carolyn Fisher is here in the service with us this morning. Some of you may know her as Carolyn Cockman of the world famous Cockman family. But I want her to come. Is she, where is she? She's here somewhere. I see her right back there. She's coming. Give her a nice hand as she gets ready to sing for us this morning. Brother Brandon, you come onto the platform. Be getting ready to sing after Sister Carolyn. We're going to go right on into the service. So glad to have you in the service with us this morning. Let's enjoy our singers as they sing this morning.
Settled peace in my soul. It's an anchor that ever will hold. And when the rough, angry waves settled peace in my soul, and there's a pure, perfect love in my life. It does away with all envy and strife, making me His obedient wife. There's a pure, perfect love in my life, and there's a rapturing faith breaks the bonds of this vain world apart and lets me know I was His from the start. There's a settled peace in my soul. It's an anchor that ever will hold when the rough, angry waves
Just like to say it's good to be back home again. We were in West Virginia there for a couple of weeks, but just glad to be back. We love you all and just appreciate every one of you so much. I'm going to send this one out to my wife, Amy. Go from here, it all used to be so clear. I'm finding I can't do this on my own. I don't know where to go from here, as long as I know that you are near. I'm done fighting and I'm finally letting go. I will trust in you, you've never failed before. I will trust in you. If there's a road I should walk, help me find it. And if I need to be still, give me peace for the moment. Whatever your will, whatever your will, would you help me find it? Would you help me find it? Fear, you give me faith. I'm giving you doubt, you give me grace. For every step, I've never been alone. And even when it hurts, you'll have your way. Even in the valley, I will say, with every step, I've never been alone. And I will wait for you. You never failed before. I will wait for you. If there's a road I should walk, help me find it. And if I need to be still, give me peace for the moment. Whatever your will, whatever your will, would you help me find it? Would you help me find it? I lift my empty hands. Have your way, my King. I lift my eyes again. 'Cause you are all I need. If there's a road I should walk, help me find it. And if I need to be still, give me peace for the moment. Whatever your will, would you help me find it? Would you help me find it? If there's a road I should walk, help me find it. And if I need to be still, give me peace for the moment. Whatever your will, help me find it. Would you help me find it?
God bless you today. Happy to be a Christian. One of the greatest privilege that can be given to us as mortals is to be reborn.
Amen.
Think of what a miracle you are standing here today. If you are actually truly born again, you are a miracle.
Amen.
1 John chapter 2, verse 8. Before we read the scriptures this morning, I want to say, I want to apologize for having to change the date of the Fall Fest. It was actually my fault. Brother Michael had called me about the date in September, and I told him that it would work okay, and I forgot to put it in my phone where I keep my schedule of meetings and whatever more. So Brother Paul Fontaine and found a new place to worship, and so he contacted me and wanted me to be a part of that dedication service. So I checked my phone, and no date was in there. So I went ahead and scheduled that date too. Now, if I can figure out how to be in Ohio and in Tennessee at the same time, I'll let you all know. So consequently, we had to try to change it. So Brother Michael announced another date, and we got a wedding that date. So I think we finally got a date worked out, and I hope it didn't cause anybody any inconvenience as far as changing it. I know there's lots of people that come in from different places and plan for that, and I hope that it'll still work out for you to be here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 8. I'd like to speak to you again today on the cause is known by the effect. The cause is known by the effect. 1 John chapter 2, verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Now listen to this compound fulfillment. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Chapter 3, verse 15 of 1 John. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. That is heavy duty. You see, when Jesus came to the earth, his words must have been so profound concerning so many things. One of the things I'm sure was so startling whenever the disciples heard it was when Jesus said that if a man is angry at his brother without a cause, that is a justifiable reason in the eyes of God, without a cause. Or if he says, Reka, R-A-C-A, Reka, thou senseless fool, that's what the word means. He is in danger of hell fire. You imagine the disciples must have been overwhelmed when they heard such words. I imagine this man right here that we're reading from today was pretty overwhelmed because he had quite a problem himself. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. So he's a murderer and a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment, friend, this is not an option like power windows on your car. This is a command of the Lord Jesus. This commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for these wonderful, wonderful truths, these wonderful words of life. We ask today that you would help us, Lord, as we endeavor to bring from these great truths the contents which has been laying here for many, many years. I thank you, Lord, for your great truths. I realize it exhausts all of our human abilities to be able to do this. There's no way we can. It takes a divine life to love in a divine way. Help us today. Open our hearts, our ears. May we not tread in darkness anymore. Speak to us of thy great heart, I pray, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. As I mentioned to you last night, John was not only a man who had was revelated by love, but he was a man who had experienced different degrees of love. and had walked in a personal depth of love with the Lord Jesus that probably caused envy from among some of the other brothers. But yet he was given a position of love, not a position of hierarchy, because the Lord does not believe in such as that. But he was given a position of love. This position was not to make John an usurper or to make him a dictator type, but to make him a living example of that which he had learned. Now, John was like all the rest of us. He was born in sin, come to the world with a fallen nature. No doubt he had positive things about his character, but love was not one of them. John was a man that was known, him and his brother James was known. Jesus termed them Boanerges, which was the sons of thunder, which is something that you normally wouldn't call somebody that's really generally unloving. If you're going to call them a thunderhead or a thunderbolt, that's not generally in terms that we relate to being loving and gentle. So there must have been something about these guys that was kind of strong and straightforward, that Jesus himself would give them a nickname. I wonder what ours is. Anyway, Luke chapter 9, verse 51. The Bible says, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, speaking of Jesus, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. They did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elias did? Now, they're very scriptural. Right? But the problem is the evil spirit that's on them is trying to hide behind the word that does not line up. Brother, you're talking about a deceiving situation. Now, notice they think they're taking defense for Jesus, but watch Jesus' response. But he turns and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of. But yet that evil spirit that was on them tried to hide behind the ministry of Elijah and the example that Elijah gave. But yet we see now, so that Satan is not afraid to try to use the word, even hide behind the word, when the word is not in its proper place and proper season. Because he knows that it crucifies the effect of the word whenever the word is not placed in its proper time. Now, was this fitting for Elijah? It was. But it was not fitting for the days of Jesus. Because now you're moving into a different dispensation. So their minds and the spirit that they are under, this is why Jesus rebuked them. Because the spirit they was under was not of God. Yet that spirit went straight to the word. But it was straight to the word out of season. Now this ought to help you to understand when Brother Bam says this in 1965. He said that the word of God has to be in its right place or it's not the will of God. Many people, you know, have tried to take somebody's shirt off of them and throw it into a fire and be cured of that epilepsy. That might not work but for one individual. And that was the individual that God gave it to. How many things have been done and tried to be replicated because people were sincere and they wanted to be right and they was trying to use an example, but the rhema of God never come to them to apply it then for their present time. Now, so there must have been something about John that had this thunderous type of ministry and this great stand for the Lord Jesus, but this man truly needed to be born again. Now, he needed to be converted and totally changed from the type of person that he was. Now, by the time that he writes 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he's been through many, many things. He's went through great experiences with God. He's been through many trials. He's learned many events of his life. And yet, this little book that contains the mystery of the heart of God, which is one of the smallest books in the Bible, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, yet in there is the very epitome of the secret that was hid from the foundation of the world. It was attainable only by the elect of God. John is writing things in here that would seem so simple. Many deep-minded people would not appreciate the book of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. They would prefer the book of Revelation.
But yet, in order to get in the city of Revelation 22, we must pass through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John in order to be that type of people. Now, years and years afterwards, I wonder how when John, the mystery of the love of God's heart, was revealed to John in completion of that day as far as a person could see. I wonder how that he looked back on the words that him and his brother James had said and that they wanted to call fire down out of heaven. I wonder how he must have felt so smitten in his heart and in his life, and realized how foolish he really was. Because now he was beginning to look through the eyes of Jesus, and no doubt as John was inspired by the Spirit of God to write these things, the very words of Jesus which so cut his heart so many years prior to this, because many, many years has passed now from the time that Jesus would have said this around 33 AD, from the time that John wrote this around 95 or 96 AD. So 60 years has passed. John has grown in the love of God. He's matured in the love of God. No doubt he's been through many, many things, and I wonder as these words were written that he must have looked back upon his attitude and felt like how childish that he really was. And I wonder as we look at some of the same things in this day and time that we're living, when God will show us our shortcomings and our pitfalls and the short things about us, if we don't look at ourselves and say, oh my, I got some growing to do. But you look at a man like this at what he was. I'm glad that this is written in the Word. So we would be able to look and see the end of a man doesn't necessarily reflect his beginning. Nor his beginning doesn't necessarily reflect his end. You see, something happened in from the time that John... Now, John was already a preacher. John was already preaching about Jesus. John was talking about Jesus. John was displaying many things. He'd done the signs of Jesus, the miracles of Jesus, the healing of Jesus, but he didn't love like Jesus because Jesus wasn't in him. So you can see the same it can be with a message preacher in this day. A message preacher can preach about the message. He can preach about Elijah. He can preach about Malachi 4. And he still don't necessarily mean that he is a true disciple to wear the badge of discipleship, and that is divine love. All you have to do is cross that preacher and he'll never love you the same and never feel the same about you again. But yet that doesn't mean now that that is that man's destiny. Maybe he's somewhere between Luke 9 and 1 John 3. Maybe that's where you are. Maybe you're somewhere between Luke 9 and 1 John 3 in your own walk with God. But don't let where you are, don't let that determine where you want to be. Don't let your births and your bad beginning or the mistakes that you made in life, don't let that determine your destiny of who you are. Look at the apostles. Which one of them would you and I want to say, well, I want to be like this one and that one in his beginning? I doubt that there was any of them that had very good beginnings just like us. They come from all types of bad situations. Many of the disciples were Pharisees. Some of them were Sadducees. They were different groups of people. They had strange beliefs, peculiar beliefs. Jesus had to rebuke them. Jesus had to say very sharp words to them over and over again. Many of us, I wonder, had we been in the days of Jesus and been under his ministry, our feelings would have been hurt so many times, many of us probably couldn't have taken it. He rebuked them before the public. He rebuked them before one another. He called them nicknames, said things to them that was embarrassing and humiliating. But he knew there was a seed there inside of their hearts that would outweigh all the human frailty that they had. He knew who they were. He knew their identity was not the flesh. He knew who they were. Oh, God, help us that we can have that same consolation. Now, let's look at it again in 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. Now, John, inspired by the divine love of the Savior himself, he said, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Now, walking in the light excludes all hatred. Now, we know, as we said last night, that there is a hatred that we have for sin, a hatred that we have for evil. But, you know, a lot of folks put the person doing the evil in the same pile, and they hate the sin and the sinner. That's wrong. God loves sinners, but he hates their sin. God loves the sin of lying and adultery and homosexuality and all that sort of thing. But it doesn't mean that God hates that person. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That includes liars, homosexuals, adulterers, bank robbers, and even message folks. That's right. So walking in the light will exclude the darkness from being able to predominate the life of a surrendered child of God. Now, can a Christian hate? Now, listen to this term now. Whenever we would identify Christian, it's a very loose term today. Really, the meaning is to be Christ-like. So could a real Christian ever hate? Absolutely not. But can our modern term of a Christian hate, one who has accepted Christ as Savior, which is not really the biblical meaning of a Christian, can those type of Christians hate? They absolutely can. Can a person who has received the Lord as their Savior and never really grown into the depths of the love of God, can they hate? Yes, they do. But a consecrated child of God filled with the Holy Ghost absolutely cannot live and walk in a world of hate. It is totally impossible because hate comes under the headship of darkness and love comes under the headship of light. And you cannot love God, which is under the headship of light, and hate your brother, which is under the headship of darkness, from the same soul. Because light would so permeate the individual that is filled with the love of God, it would be totally impossible for them to love God out of one side of their mouth and hate somebody they go to church with out of the other side of their mouth. Well, y'all gonna preach with me or look at me? Now, John is going to set forth the affinity that is determined by God. Now notice even Paul doesn't deal with it quite this way, or none of the rest of the apostles either. But John places the affinity of light and love and the affinity between darkness and fear and anger and hatred and all of that on a total other side. Now it's under two complete different headships because the heads are operating under different auspices. And that is that Satan is the one who's the head of hatred and anger and emulation and strife, and God is the head of light and the head of love. So you cannot have these mixed in a God-filled heart. Can you have them mixed in a person who has accepted the Lord as their Savior? Yes, because that's as far as they have went. But they have never made Him entirely their Lord. And there is a great difference. A person can have received the Lord as their Savior and yet still drink and still smoke and still have all kinds of problems, have hate in their heart, because he's never become the Lord of everything they are and of everything that they are wanting to be. But for a child of God who's filled with the Holy Ghost and sealed with the presence of God, there is no way that they can live and walk in a world of hate. Now, can Satan raise up the feeling of hate? And can they struggle with hate after they get the Holy Ghost? Well, most certainly they can. Just like they can with any other type of sin. But there's no way perfect love and hate can reside in the same soul. And the saints said, amen. Amen. Now, so it proves to us then that there is a complete incompatibility that light will have with darkness and a complete incompatibility that love will be able to have with this type of hate. So there's no way then that we can move hate out from under the headship of darkness and move it over under the column of the headship of light and love and say, I love God, but I hate you. I love God, but I hate you, Brother Pat. I can't stand you. But thank God I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Totally impossible. Now there may be ways that Brother Pat's got that I don't like. No doubt there's ways I've got that he don't like. That certainly don't mean we hate one another. And the Holy Ghost will never make us, every one, to where that we'll all be like the perfect example, which of course would be you. The only reason that you clash with people is because they clash with you. If everybody was like you, all clashes would be over. There's no need in you sitting there and acting like you don't know what I'm talking about. You husbands would never have an argument with your wife if you did not believe that. Because you believe you're right and where you're standing. And the problem is, she does too. And if she would only do what you're saying, that's right, honey. Yes, dear. That's right, dear. That's exactly right, dear. You should have married a doll. Well, you program it. You don't need your touch. Yes, dear. That's right, dear. That's exactly. You're never wrong, dear. Oh, that's exactly right, dear. How in the world did I get on that? Now, he that loveth, notice in verse 10, now John says, he that loveth his brother abide us. Now watch how John moves into a sphere of a consecrated believer, which only the elect can walk in this law of this type of love. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. So a man who actually moves into this realm. Now don't get in your mind it's this lovey-dovey stuff of all this Laodicean age to where everybody's got to love everything that everybody else does and you're not politically correct if you don't do it. I ain't worried about being politically correct. No way. I want to be right in the eyes of God. Now, it's not that type of love, but John is using the Greek word, the extreme measure of love, which is agape love. So he that agapes his brother abideth in the light. So a man then who moves in this degree has not moved in that degree by disciplining himself. I've got to love everybody. I've got to love everybody. And he takes manuals on, the book on dummies of how to have perfect love. And the book of dummies on how to forgive. And the book of dummies on how to do this and that and the other. You can never discipline yourself to do this. Get it out of your mind. You can never train yourself how to have perfect love. You can never discipline yourself to have perfect love. It absolutely exasperates every ability that you and I have. Let me tell you before we start, it is absolutely, totally impossible for an unregenerate, unborn again man, woman, boy, or girl to ever love this way. So you might as well give it up and say, I cannot do it. But let me give you a good news on the end of that. There is the way by a power of a new birth that we by the Holy Ghost can love like God and live like God. Hallelujah. But it's not His love and yours mixed together. It's totally His. John says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Praise the Lord. Abideth in the light. So John identifies the individual who has the ability to love at this realm. That's not something that comes and goes. It's not like an anointing that comes on you and you feel good and you can do it. When the anointing's there and then when the anointing leaves, you can't do it no more. Whether the anointing is there or not, you love this way. Whether you're in church or not. This love don't work 3 days out of the week. It don't work just on Sunday morning. It works 24/7. 365 days a year. Yeah, then on leap year it does it that extra day too. It's there all the time. It's there when you're up. It's there when you're down. It's there when you're in. It's there when you're out. It's there when things are going well and when things are going terrible. Because it ain't you. Oh, hallelujah. A man who loves his brother like this has not only entered into the region of light, but he lives there. Notice the way John placed him. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. He has moved to the region of light. He lives in light. So will it be up on the message of the day? Completely. Everything that God is doing, He'll be a part of. There won't be one revelation necessary that He won't have. There won't be one thing needful that He will lack. And John sums it all up by this one thing. Just because a man loves his brother, you make that sound simple. You make that sound like every Joe on the street can just love his brother and his life. You're going to find out. This is the ultimate test of being born again. You can say seven thunders so you're blue in the face. It don't mean you're going to heaven. I believe Malachi 4. That don't mean you're going to heaven. But if you love your brother, you're already in heaven. Because it's totally impossible for you to do it. Absolutely, completely impossible. Oh, help us, Lord. Now watch how sure that John is of this. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. What in the world? How could he say such a thing? What about smoking? What about drinking? What about committing adultery? I mean, you don't see, do you? You don't grasp it yet. you're still thinking sin is the attributes of it. Sin ain't drinking. Sin ain't smoking. Sin is unbelief. Did Cain give Abel a cigarette outside the garden and that's what got him in trouble? Cain drunk a beer and he gave Abel a half a can and that's what caused the issue? There was no prostitutes. There was no television. There was no pornography. There was none of the things that we take today called sin. What was there? Love and hate. And where were both of these manifested to its full attributes? In church. Because Cain and Abel went to church. Woo! So it was in church that love manifested itself. It was in church that hate manifested itself. But John identifies a link to the very heart of God that ties this man who has the ability to love a divine nature. And he places this upon the man that a man or woman, boy or girl, who loves to this degree, there is absolutely no way for them to ever fall. Well, that's what the Bible says, friends. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. There is none occasion of stumbling in him. Now, I shared it with you at the end of the service last night, but let's look at it again today. The word occasion of stumbling is scandalon, the Greek word scandalon, which we get the word scandal from. And it means the movable stick or the trick, the trip that trips a trap. So it would have been the stick in the front of the door of a trap that was set for an animal, and you baited it with fruit or something that he wants to eat and go into, and the stick is there in front of it. The animal comes through, hits the stick. When he does, the door drops behind him. So John says, a man who loves with this degree, there is no way for him to ever fall. Boy, if there's a bunch of Baptists here this morning, they'd be hanging from the chandeliers, wouldn't they? You're talking about eternal security. This is it. This is it. Lord, help us. My, think of it. But then in that also it has a dual meaning in that this man that loves this way, he will not only never fall himself, but he will never intentionally become a trap or a stick to cast a stumbling block in front of others to make them fall. Now, because this man loves God so much, and he has a revelation, you cannot separate God from his family. So he knows it is the spirit of Cain that thinks you can love God, go to church, and hate folks. He has totally been so engulfed into the depth of love that he realized in the New Testament God so enveloped the entire new move in this principle, love one another. My. Can I go on? That's good. I sure didn't want to stop this early. Now watch the effect that this type of love has on an individual. It's almost more than an unregenerate person can comprehend. Brotherly love gives no occasion to stumbling to the individual who has it, nor to others who will be around that individual, because it's such the love of God. Brotherly love will preserve this man from such an issue. The reason many of you have said under preachers that have gone astray, whether by women or by sin or some other type of sin or doctrine and all that, because they didn't love you right. If they loved God right, they wouldn't have done it. If they loved you right, they wouldn't have done it. But yet it instills a fear then for many people that they're somewhere down the road, they're going to be let down again. God's going to have some preachers that's going to live this way as well. And they're going to be so engulfed with God, they would rather die than to lead the people astray instead of being anointed to lead them astray. They will not do it, but they will say, absolutely. If they make a mistake, they're man enough to say, you know what? I said that wrong. And I didn't mean it that way. Please forgive me. But you know what? In their heart, they have no desire to lead God's people astray. Why? It is the very love of God himself. It's Jesus in them, living his life out. Oh, that's the way it wants to be in every heart here today. That you don't desire to cause anybody to fall or put a stumbling block in front of anybody because it's Jesus in you. How would Jesus in his own body desire to redeem the curse and the loss? And then Jesus in you want to make somebody stumble? No way. But you see, the lack of this degree of love. Now hold on. It's an action or a display of a life of sin. I don't care if it's a preacher. Any man or woman who don't love this way, a sign of sin in their life. But Brother Todd, I don't drink, I don't cuss. You still don't understand, do you? You're still thinking sin is the length of a woman's dress. The reason she does that is because she don't believe. The reason a woman cuts her hair is because she don't believe. The cutting is the only attribute of the unbelief. Do you understand? That hate, the way the Lord Jesus projects hate in the New Testament, that hate is the preceding or the birthing avenue of murder. Murder. Hate is the seed form of murder carried out in reality. The way that love by words is the seed form of love carried out in action. We don't want it just in seed form. Oh, I love you, brother. I love you, brother. Oh, I love everybody. That's easy to say, isn't it? Till a few of them cross you. Ooh. Watch this. John says, chapter 2, verse 11, he that hateth his brother is in darkness. You mean it's that cut and dried? It's that cut and dry. That's how cut and dry love and hate are. It cannot be a little ooey gooey mixture. Two parts love, one part hate. You know, three thirds, two fourths or whatever. No, it cannot be. It's one or the other. He that hateth his brother is in darkness. And walketh in darkness. So this is his behavior, his manner of living. So it's amazing then that people, especially around this message who claim so much light, would believe that the rest of the world is so full of darkness. And everybody basically outside of their theology. And yet they themselves are walking in darkness, preaching against darkness. Why? Because they hate all of those who don't agree with them. Well, praise the Lord. And remember, hate is not carrying a gun. It's trying to lace your, you know, the person you hate, so dinner with rat poison and try to get them killed. But it is a very strong, passionate type of dislike. Hate is much more subtle, friends, than the way we have defined it. It's much more subtle, and it lays much more close to even our own human hearts than what we remember. The human heart is corrupt. That's why we must be born again. The Lord Jesus knew what test to ultimately put as a badge of discipleship. It was not walking on water. It was not healing the sick or raising the dead. It was one very simple, complex thing. Love. Which everybody thinks they have. You ever met anybody around the message that didn't feel like this in the middle of the road? Everybody I've ever talked to thought this in the middle of the road. How can everybody be in the middle of the road? This must be a big road. It must be wide. Why? Because Satan does not want us to see ourselves as being wrong. As a matter of fact, Brother Ben tells the Normans in time, no man wants to see himself wrong. No man. That includes us. So if we can fill our heart, I hate nobody. What's he talking about? Hate. Why is he preaching hate here? But because of the way we've defined hate, we've raised ourselves above the meaning, the definition. But yet when a person's name is mentioned passionately, something within our physical body begins to respond. I've seen folks, and you have too, that the mere mention of a person's name or someone just walking into a room, and I've watched their faces flush. I've watched their expression change. They were probably unconscious to it because it was so buried within their subconscious. It sent the adrenaline and all these things in their body, and they had a physical, chemical reaction while they were there. God bless you, brother. I love you. Now watch this in verse 11, friends, how serious this is. This is not stuff to play with. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whether he goeth. Now isn't that one of the descriptions of the Laodicean age? Knoweth it not? So a person then that can hate their brother and they are actually in darkness, and they're so engrossed in this darkness of hate, they don't even know where they're going. It's like they've lost their sense of direction. Their spiritual life, their natural life, everything, and it's simply out of what? Hatred! Hatred. It is a poison acid. It will eat Christ right out of your life. Now, if John thought no true Christian could be able to do this, he absolutely wasted time and pages on the precious word of God to write such words. But no doubt John had seen some himself. And John had also experienced this firsthand. John accepted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. John was actually baptized in water by Jesus himself. John was sanctified, which describes the majority of message people. Accepted the Lord Jesus as Savior, baptized in water, and have been sanctified. So John was a Christian, as we would say today. But John could love the Lord Jesus so much, he would stand at the cross. And he would hate them inhabitants of the city so much, that he wouldn't want to call fire down out of heaven and destroy them. Why? His heart had room for both emotions. He could love and hate from the very same heart. Lord Jesus. A person who lives in this type of place certainly has much to learn about God and His Word. Really, no matter how deep they think they are, what a great giant they feel they are in Scripture or in the message, they've yet to learn the basic principle of why Jesus came to the earth. That was to love those that are unlovable. To reach beyond the hurt and the pain and the sorrow and things that you've been through. Now watch, he says, he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whether he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Now we talk about the women of Laodicea and the church of Laodicea, them living in the world and how blind they are and how wretched and how poor and they're naked and they don't know it. But let's bring it on down a little closer, shall we? Or would y'all just rather I'd preach on those folks out there? I don't know about you, but I'm in this for the long run. Whatever I need, I want to hear it. Now think, as the darkness is out there upon them, and we look at them and say, they're so pitiful. I mean, they dress like the world, and they act like the world, and they talk about God, and they go to church, and you look at them and say, they're so pitiful, they're so pitiful. And yet, some of you, who have embraced a greater light, and have been enlightened to a further understanding of what God has done, but have you yourself also been blinded by the darkness of hatred? Not the blindness of miniskirts, Oh, the blind, she think of it. I thought about it the other day and I put a note, wrote down on it so that I go back to it sometime later. That many of the women in churches and many of the women on the street today, wear the attire that a few years ago was the attire of a harlot. The mini dresses and the tight tops and all that sort of thing that you see of women today. Years ago, a woman was identified with that kind of clothes on. She was a streetwalker. But today, it's common. Why? Because the darkness of Laodicea has moved into what everybody does. And everybody, what difference does it make? God looks at the heart. He does. He looks at the heart and sees darkness is in the heart. But then let's bring it on up to us in the degree that we would love and, oh, we're in the light. We're walking in Malachi 4. I've seen the light of the day. And yet somebody differ with you in your doctrine or your opinion or your theology. Honestly, you tell me from your heart, can you ever feel the same toward that individual? If you ever have a heated discussion with any brother or sister, do you have the ability within you? Not them. Not you and them together. You! Do you have the ability to look at them and feel the exact same way you did before? You tell me. Nobody's telling me nothing. Lord, help us. The word that John used here, hateth, it includes a twofold meaning of it in that it's the, not just the mere absence of love for that individual, but the extreme depths of hate that would carry out revenge. So he groups it, Brother Jim, in one category and uses the word hateth. So he puts the extreme depth of hatred and the very lack of love for that brother in the same thing. How could he do such? Because John had an understanding to know that hatred from the heart is the cradle of murder on the outside. Now the example that he uses is who? Cain and Abel. Why them? Why Cain and Abel? It's a perfect example of a Christian that loves God and goes to church and worships but hates his brother. Perfect example. Cain was not an infidel. He was not an agnostic. He was not an unbeliever in the sense of saying, I don't believe there is a God. He believed there was a God. He loved that God. That's right. Brother Ben said he loved God. Said he held his hand and he held his hands before God and he was as sincere as Abel was. But his heart was the birthing place of hatred. Oh, praise the Lord. Lord Jesus. Notice this. Brother Ben says you can't associate night and day together. Neither can you associate belief and unbelief together. And when you find unbelief, it's accompanied by hatred. And if you find faith, it's accompanied by love. Why? It's under different headships, under different auspices. So whenever you find unbelief, then you will find hatred. You will find anger. You will find strife. All the rest of these attributes, there's only two, friends. There's only two powers. And then whenever you find faith, you find love, you find forgiveness, you find mercy. Why? It fits under another headship. Now the problem is when you got born again, your soul is under this headship. And your body, whether or not you agree, still has access to this one. I don't know why in the world some of y'all thinks your body got the Holy Ghost. Watch this again now in Christ the mystery. He says, if a brother you think is a little wrong or a sister, say, Lord! I must be missing something here. Let me read this again now and see if I can understand. If a brother you think is a little wrong or a sister, say, Lord, don't let me. Okay, so if a brother or sister is wrong, I'm to pray for me? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Y'all see him daylight? If the brother you think is a little wrong, or the sister, say, Lord, don't let me never have the root of bitterness spring up, because it will affect him. It'll take the Christ Lordship. It will take the Christ right out of my life. Not drinking, not smoking, not pornography. Bitterness. Bitterness. Which fits over here under this other headship. Don't never let me have the root of bitterness spring up. Because it'll affect him. It'll take the Christ right out of my life. That poison acids of malice and jealousy and hatred will just take the Holy Spirit right away from you. So you still got a long dress, sisters. You still got long hair. You don't have no makeup on. You're made fun of for being a holy brother your life, Dad. And the Holy Spirit won't even feel comfortable being around you. Because malice and hatred just pours out of you like an acid. That poison acid of malice and jealousy and hatred will just take the Holy Spirit right away from you. It will run him from the tabernacle here. It will kill the Spirit of God. Or drive it from here. Hurt your pastor. Do everything. Don't do that. So every person here could look the part. You could act the part out there. But if you're not the part from here. We could come here and sit, and we could hear the word preached, and I could preach it out of bitterness, and you could say amen out of bitterness, and we could fellowship out of bitterness. And we wonder why God don't move among us no more. We wonder why the Holy Ghost ain't welcome. He can't stand bitterness. He can't stand hatred. Can't you see why so many preachers in the message are so blind? They're blind! They think they're preaching against worldliness because they're constantly preaching against clothes. And they're as bitter as they can be. Gossipers and spread things on. I'm talking about preachers. If we want to keep God's presence in this place, we've got to keep bitterness away from our hearts. If you want to keep God's presence in your life as an individual, you've got to keep bitterness away from your heart. And friends, I want to tell you, you already know it's going to be one of the greatest challenges of your life. You thought smoking was something baloney. Smoking compared to this is like smoking a candy cigarette. This is the very root and the cause of so much trouble. Read this with me. Hate is one of the most destructive emotions humans are capable of. First, the amount of emotional and physical energy we use when experiencing hate drains and absorbs the body. Also, although it is a feeling towards someone else, we are the one experiencing it. And it is a very nasty emotion. Oh my. That we are responsible for. We created it and own it. So therefore, we are choosing it. Now, until you acknowledge this is the problem, you'll never get delivered. Well, if they hadn't, if she hadn't, don't you see what you're doing? You're blaming them for your hate. This is your choice. It is your choice to hate. It is your choice to be bitter. It can also be your choice to get hate out of your life. It can be your choice today by God's grace to say, I refuse to allow hate in my heart for anyone, no matter what they've done to me. It is my choice. If I cannot choose it, then that means hate is my God. That means hate is greater than my Holy Ghost. That means animosity and strife is greater than the Creator. Neither I nor you believe such a thing. I believe it is inferior to my God. I believe it is inferior to me as a son of God. But I must choose. I must choose. We created it and own it. You're the proud owner of hate. You're the proud owner of bitterness. I don't think I want to own it no more. I don't think I'll sell it. I ain't gonna put it on eBay. I think I'll send it back to hell. Glory! Hallelujah! I don't own it! And see, friends, because it comes under this headship over here in this column, it has many attributes that link together, like faith and love and hope and charity and all that. On this side, hatred and anger and strife and murder and emulation and this and that and the other, it all ties together as well. Watch this. Hatred ties right into anger. It's much like the fight or flight response. Your body is gearing up for a fight to survive a wrong that's been perpetrated against you. Chemicals like adrenaline and noradrenaline surge through the body. Now, this is when hatred will reach a place to where you are now having a chemical reaction within yourself. It's no longer just a passing thought. It's no longer you being tempted. That sister done me wrong. She shouldn't have said that. She spread stuff all through the church about me. It ain't nothing but a lie. Well, as long as it stays in that word form, you'll be all right. You'll be able to overcome it until your body begins to respond. Then you go to releasing chemicals in the dendrites inside of your head. They go to attaching chemicals with that. Then every time it's brought up, every time her name is mentioned, then you go to feeding these things. You know why? Because inside of you, you are having a chemical reaction. Even though you may be a saint of God filled with the Holy Ghost, your nendrites didn't get the Holy Ghost. Your adrenaline didn't get the Holy Ghost. Your amygdala didn't get the Holy Ghost. But it needs to be brought under control of the Holy Ghost. Now watch what happens inside of you. In the brain, the amygdala, part of the brain that deals with emotion, is going crazy. It wants to do something. And the time, listen to this, the time between a trigger event and a response from the amygdala can be a quarter of a second. But at the same time, blood flow is increasing in the frontal lobe, specifically the part of the brain that's over the left eye. This area controls reasoning and is likely what keeps you from hurling a vase across the room. Of course, if some of you hurled it, that means you must add a block in between here and... These areas generally balance each other out quickly. According to some research, the neurological response to anger lasts less than 2 seconds. This is why you get a lot of advice about counting to 10 when you're angry. It gives you 8 seconds over the time lapse. Now watch this. In 1848, Phineas Gage, a nice, dependable railroad worker, suffered an accident in which a rod went through his skull right above his left eye. From then on, Gage was angry, irritable, and unstable. Not just because he'd driven a rod through his skull, but rather the rod had destroyed that part of his brain that could inhibit an angry response. Poor guy. Felt sorry for this poor fella. He'd been dead for hundreds of years, but I still felt sorry for him. And it began to make me wonder if a lot of folks in the message ain't had rods in their heads. Spiritually, I mean. Not in the sense of the natural. But nothing there to inhibit or control the display. Now, you imagine this man. This part which helps him naturally, anatomically, to help him to deal with this disturbance, which the brain is so designed to counterbalance itself. Isn't it a wonderful thing the way we're made? And it's so made, but then something happens and that part of his brain is no longer there and operates. So he runs at high gear all the time. God have mercy on his wife and kids. Why? There's nothing there within him to counterbalance all that the medulla is releasing in his brain. Do you understand, friend? We are living in an age that is so stressful. If John and Paul and Bartholomew and them was living in this day, they'd probably say, saints, how in the world do you all make it? We thought the lions was tough, and we thought the leopards was tough. How in the world do you all make it? We'll say the same way you all made it, by God's grace. That's the only way we'll make it in this stressful age. Watch this, if you're constantly being activated by triggers, However, then the state of response can start to cause damage. Don't you see the age we're living? Just everyday life. We live under more strain in a week of our life in Laodicea than many of our forefathers went through in a year. Their stress was, the hog got out. Oh no, Mary Bess, I'm going down to see if I can find the hog. I'll be back about dinner time. Here he comes with old sow belly leading her back. Phew, boy, that was close. Boy, I'm all stressed out. You're saying, Lord have mercy, I deal with worse stuff than my dreams. You ever get up all wore out of a morning? No wonder. With all the stress we deal with, my, we even have stressful dreams anymore. Sheep and peaceful rivers and all that sort of thing. You must be on something. Would you mind texting me what you take before you go to bed at night? Now watch what happens is chronically angry people may not have the mechanism to turn off these effects. They may not produce acetylcholine, a hormone, which tempers the more severe effects of adrenaline. Their nervous system is constantly working and can eventually become overexerted, leading to a weakened heart and stiffer arteries. And they're finding out through research much of this anger comes from hatred. Anger's physical side effects explain why you frequently see studies about the damage that this emotion can do to our bodies. In one study of almost 13,000 subjects, individuals with the highest levels of anger had twice the risk of coronary artery disease. Now they might have went to the doctor and the doctor looked at him and said, how much hamburger you eat? How many eggs you eat? How many this, that, and other? It ain't the eggs. It's an emotion. Can't you understand? This is an element that many doctors miss. The spiritual tie of the unity of the body. How the body, so they look at, well, it must be the diet. It must be the American diet. It must be the, you know, it must be this and the other. And no doubt there's a lot of it that is the diet. But there's another element that lays on the inside of the man. Now can you imagine the emotion of anger? Oh, you think, how many of you folks want to have a heart attack? Anybody here? Anybody want a heart attack? Really? Me either. You've had one, you know. Other people here have had one. They know, man, they don't want no heart attack. But yet, a person who has extreme cases of anger are 3 times greater risk of a heart attack. Oh, my. As compared to subjects with the lowest levels of anger. Sometimes to think that chronic anger may be more dangerous. Our president might want to make this part of Obamacare. They're going to find smokers. Maybe they should find mad people. Got to say something to make you laugh. Some of y'all are looking really bad right now. Woo! I don't want some of y'all to have heart attacks right here in church. Notice this. Anger more dangerous than smoking and obesity? As a factor that will contribute to early death? Oh my goodness. So they cut back on kids' meals at school to help them with obesity. They make it against the law to drink certain size Cokes and all that sort of thing. And they're increasing the heart risk factor because they're making folks more mad when they do it. If time goes on, they'll look back and say, how did that happen? We're showing right here in the statistics, after this law, more people died with heart attacks. Anger. Anger. It is of the devil. Hatred. It is of the devil. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness. And walketh in darkness. And knoweth not whether he goes. So the sad thing about it is the person is ignorant of walking in darkness because in their mind they have accepted the Canaanite way in that they can love God and hate people. And in doing that, this darkness, which is tied to hatred, comes and blinds their eyes. They read their Bible. In our case, they listen to tapes. They go to church. They love God so much. And they cry when you hear songs about the cross. Oh my, they're just so moved when they hear something on the radio or pass by a church sign. They are so moved. And then they run into me at Walmart. And then they find themselves in the hardware department with a hammer in their hand. They're trying to figure out, what in the world am I doing? Or they run into you or someone that they have a problem with, and all of a sudden, you just ruined their day. They was having this wonderful day with God, and you appeared. I knew I was led of the devil to pull into Bojangles drive-thru. There he was right in front of me. Eagle One. I'm a believer. On his license plate. Ruined my day. Ruined it. No. You didn't ruin their day. What was in them ruined their day. Friends, this is the Canaanite. You're going to be surprised one day. Just attribute it now to a little idiot that don't know anything, okay? One day your eyes will be opened. That you will see how many Canaanites are in this message. They love God. They love Brother Branham. They can cry and they sit right there and hate in church. They can ridicule. They can run down. They can criticize. They can gossip. Cry at the drop of a hat, speak in tongues of a hat. When I was in Pentecost, that's the way it was in Pentecost. People back there, boy, they just speak in tongues at the drop of a hat. Jump and shout and dance and carry on the office ever was until you cross them. And the message is, oh, God's in a prophet. You talking about love. God loved us so much he sent Brother Branham down here. Come on, I can't even talk about it. What do you think about Brother Amos? Brother Amos, cuts! All of a sudden they get their tongue back. The mercy of God was so great and so wonderful they couldn't talk about it, but my. Children, this is serious. This is serious. Look what a condition that an individual can be in. And I'll close with this. He that hateth his brother is in darkness. Not was, but he still is. And walketh. So this is his life. It's not something he's battling now. This is not something that comes against him. He wards it off. He's battling it, but he's actually, this is his way of life. Walking in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth. Because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. What darkness? Painted face and bobbed hair? We're not talking about bobbed hair. We're talking about hate, anger, jealousy, malice. Dear Lord Jesus. 1 John 3:14, and let's stand together if you would. Please. Let me say this to you. A Christian who harbors hatred for a fellow Christian has lost all sense of spiritual direction. According to what John says. You see, Christ makes this new commandment. And is a test, as I said earlier, which absolutely no unconverted human being can ever attain to. Totally impossible. All the other things can be impersonated. Every one of them. But not this. I'm beginning to understand more and more why Brother Ben said, lay aside everything. Until you get perfect love. Or thus saith the Lord, it will take perfect love to put you there. This is it. This, my brother, sister, is the capstone. Oh my. 1 John 3:14, for we know that we have passed from death unto life because we have long hair. Because our dresses are 3 inches below the knee. And the brothers cut their hair
And we don't have tattoos. And we don't do and do and do and do not and do and do not and do and do not. Now, this is a holiness preacher that said this. Right? You do believe the Bible is still true, right? Now, I wonder if this is why so many folks are uncertain about whether they have the Holy Ghost or not. It's because their knowing is in the wrong direction. We know that we have passed from death unto life because this is not a hope, I pray, I'm thinking, I really hope I got the Holy Ghost. No, we can know.
Amen.
And he don't give us 57 pages of quotes or scriptures to give us an evidence. He gives us the ultimate evidence. We know that we have passed from death unto life because it's not even because you love God. You see, if you love the brothers, you love God. But Canaanite is to love God and hate the brothers. But John takes it right to the stringent part, the most difficult part for humans to live. Go straight to the brothers. Because they're the ones you work with. They're the ones you go to church with. Or live next door to. Or so on and so on and so on. We know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. In death. To be honest with you, when I came to this message years ago, I thought I'd got beyond the politics. I saw it in Pentecost. I knew how it worked. Saw it with different preachers. Read about it from Oral Roberts, many of those men. Oral Roberts went to Jack Coe's meeting and seen he had a gigantic tent, sent some guys out after dark, measured how big the tent was, ordered one the next day, larger, so he could make the announcement he had the world's largest tent. We seen it, Harry. We seen how it was, and I thought when we came to the message, we passed all that. But I realized that just came on over. Because some of them people came over and didn't have a new birth, so they brought it on over with them. We thought we'd leave a lot of this stuff behind, but we're waking up and realizing we didn't leave it behind. They come with us. Because whenever Abraham sent Eliezer over to get Isaac, a bride, and the Bible tells us in Genesis 24, whenever that he came back with the bride, that her maidens come with her. So she wasn't the only one hearing the message. She wasn't the only one following a man back to Isaac. But she was the only one that went into the tent. So she got to live and move inside the tent. I want to be a tent dweller. But Isaac, I don't want to live on the outside, do you? I want to be like him. Not just heal the sick. God's helped me by his grace. I've seen many miracles performed. See, many, many things happen supernatural. But I've seen every one of them things that God's allowed me to see replicated and duplicated by people that wouldn't even live right. But there is no devil, there is no preacher, there is no false prophet can love like this. Nobody. But born again Christians. So an illiterate housewife, little simple people over in China, little simple people that I've seen down in India, in different parts of the world where I've been. Last time I was in Tanzania, I was there to help dedicate Brother Zephaniah's church and work that we helped to do there. I met brothers that were now ministers. They were native tribe people before the message came to them. They wore no clothes and they lived in holes in the ground. They didn't live in houses, but they dug out large holes and they crawled down them holes like animals. And that's where they lived. But somebody had been touched by love. And they went out among them, heathens, preachers. And they told them there was a better life and a better way. So that little preacher on that bicycle that you helped buy. And went out there and told them people about a Jesus that loved them. And showed them what? Doctrines? Theology? Love.
real love. Then it touched that man. Then that man got converted. God called him to preach. And he started preaching to his brothers. Now they got a church out there among them. On and on and on the story goes. You see, before long we will all be questioned about love. It's heading up. The question of the world. Do you love or do you hate? You preach against homosexual. You hate him. Ah! No. We don't hate him. You preach against sin. You hate. Ah! We don't hate. We love. But we love so deeply, we must tell people when we see they're wrong. That's how deeply we love. No doubt you could vote in a preacher here if you're all tired of me and you want to vote in a preacher. I'm sure you could find all kinds. They'd be chomping at the bits to get a church this size. You'd get some that you'd find in this message. They would get among the people. They would go among them. They'd go to finding out what they like, what they don't like. And what you'd find out is them preachers catering to what you want to hear in our message. I know preachers who do it. If that's your desire, you might have a bigger church. You might have more folks. But would you have God? What do we want here? More people? More money? Or more of God? For me and my house, I want more of God. If the crowd gets smaller, because I preach for the truth, so be it. If we have to cut back on doing this and that and other because of finances, because our stand for God, so be it. But I will not trade him for money. Trade him for popularity, fame. You feel that way with me? Let's bow our heads together if you would. Lord Jesus, I know these things are grievous to us, Lord. It hurts us when we see our shortcomings. And the word gets so plain sometimes, it just gets right down to where we live. But Lord, with all of my heart, I want to be right more than anything. I asked you last night and I ask you again today, if there's anyone in this world, the different nations I've been to, the different meetings I've preached, if there's anyone that I have offended in any way myself, that I need to apologize to, make it known to me, God. I don't want nothing in my way. I forgive those who've lied on me. I forgive those who've run me down. I forgive the preachers who fabricated things against me. I forgive them, Lord. I don't want to go on. I don't want to hold nothing against nobody. Because I know if I say in my heart I forgive them, and yet I don't, then my trespasses are still holding against me. So I want to forgive from my heart, Lord. I want to love like you, Jesus. The Canaanite religion is moving right in the ranks of this message. Where people can weep and cry and say they love you and love God's prophet and hate every other preacher that there is in the message. Ridicule them, talk about them because they don't believe in preachers. Others that believe in preachers because somebody did them wrong or harmed them some way. They love this one and that one and the other one, but they just don't like this man or another man. Help us today, Lord Jesus. Many of us have come the full circle. We've been through many different camps of so-called revelatory moves where this was deep and this was profound and this was something else. It's amazing we find ourselves coming back to the foundation. The foundation of real love. Help us, Lord Jesus. Search my heart. Search the heart of every individual. No doubt, Lord, over in Norway, people are streaming the service right now in the Netherlands, Canada, different parts of the States and around the world. May the presence of God come there in their room, Lord. Would you grant it, Lord Jesus? We believe this is not just needful for Happy Valley, but for all of us. Grant it, I pray, Lord God. Would you just raise your hand to the Lord today if you'd like to be remembered? You want to love like Jesus. Not just cast out devils like him and walk on water and all that sort of thing. But here shall men know that you are my disciples because you have love one toward another. Love giving to a person who doesn't deserve it. Love reaching out beyond even when a person trespasses against you and doesn't ask you to forgive them. You forgive them on the first basis
as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Praise God. Lord, it's no wonder that your prophet said he longed to see an hour when the gifts would be laid up on a shelf, as it were, and perfect love would move among the church and take that church over. Lord God, help us, I pray. We know, Lord Jesus, that there must be an anointing released in order to help us to move to a higher plane. You don't just send a truth and it comes without a regenerating power. So Lord, I pray with this truth that we've been rehearing, as it were, may there be an anointing from on high that'll help us, Lord, to have a greater desire. Lord, if they have not resolved, may they do so today to realize they might be able to learn to hold their tongue. They might be able to learn to pull back their temper or learn to do certain things. But this cannot be learned. This cannot be taught. It must be a born nature. And then we learn, once we've received that nature, we learn how to let that nature manifest itself out. Help us to get away from the idea, I'm going to try to be better. I'm going to make up my mind. I'm going to be a better person. May we lay that on the altar today. And may it be consumed with our hatred. May it be consumed with anger, animosity, or strife. Grant it, I pray, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus. I love you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We worship you together now, Lord Jesus. Can we just worship him? I need more of you. Sweet Jesus, that's the way it's got to be. I need more of you. Sing it to him now. Till there's no room left in me. Oh, all those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now. From the start to the finish, I need more of you. Oh Lord, I need more. From this day forward, I need more of you in me. Let the bride sing it now. My affirmation, Lord, that's the way it's got to be. I'm gonna have more till there's no left in me. All those wasted. Start to the finish, I need more of. Anybody agree with me today? Oh, I need more of you. I've gotta have more. Praise God. Praise God. And let me say this exhortation to you before we leave. Don't be discouraged. Don't be downhearted and discouraged in well-doing. He gradually moves the standard above us. But he knows the pace at to which to move it. So we don't become too greatly discouraged. That within itself is the epitome of our Father's love. The scripture tells us when he brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, there was actually a shorter way by which he could have led them to the land of promise.
But if he would have led them that way, it would have been a lot of war and a lot of battle. And he knew it would have discouraged their souls. So he led them actually a longer way, but it was an easier way. So sometimes when you're praying and you're waiting for a prayer, and it might take a little longer, but it's simply because he's leading you the longer way around to spare you several days more. It's his mercy. It's his mercy. Don't be discouraged. You're going to get there. Let me say it this way. We are going to get there. Hallelujah. You believe it? Turn around and tell somebody. Confess it to them. By God's grace, I'm going to have this. I'm going to have this. Gene, by God's grace. By God's grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. By God's grace. Herein shall all men know that ye are my disciples. And we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. It's a cop-out, friends, to make everybody serpent seed because they don't believe what we believe. It's easier to do that than it is to love them when they cross you. It's time for us to grow up and act like big boys and big girls. Praise the Lord. Let's quit making everybody serpent seed because they don't agree with us. And let's love those that are unlovable. And the saints said, God bless you. Service Wednesday night. Trust you've enjoyed this weekend. He was just here today. Trust you enjoyed today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we so love you today. I thank you for the service last night and today. I pray, Lord, that something was said that will be of help to your children. I know if it was, it would have to be you to say it. Lord, I ask that we would be like sheep. We would ruminate on these things and help them, Lord, to be more determined than ever before. That they will meet that great mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Many of them, no doubt, have already received this life. They just need to learn more how to let it flow through them. Maybe there's some here today who haven't. May they not be satisfied until they do. Will they speak in tongues? They might. Will they shout? They might. Will they quit doing this and start doing that? There are many of those things they will do. But one thing for sure, they will love their brothers. Help us, I pray, dear God. We commit the word in our hearts into your presence today. In Jesus Christ's name. And the saint said,
amen.
I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord.
city.